Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stories We Could Tell. Welcome back after, what, 6 or 7 months off? Took a little summer vacation. This is pretty exciting, though. We're here in Key West with David Wegman, John Cunningham, and Bill the Squid Wynn. So congrats on your first tarpon today.
Thank you very much. Yep.
And John, thank you for letting us use your humble abode here.
You'll get the bill.
Yeah, and thank you for the candlelight dinner, which is gorgeous before men. And then, Dave, thank you so much for joining us. So, Dave, I met you when? A year ago? About a year ago. So, and I think we probably became friends this year at the Peach, you know, if you know, you know, and open mic night and just Sunday at Louie's.
Yeah, the
Dog Beach Yacht Club. And that's another one, if you know, you know. Membership's $1,000 for life, right?
Yeah.
But how long you live here in Key West?
I've been coming and going here for 50 years. 1971
till when? Now.
Till now, but I only come, I'm never here more than a couple of months.
Yeah. Where else do you live?
Well, I got Maine in the summertime. I'm up there from July, August, 2 months. And then I work my way down from Maine to Key West, but it takes me over a month to get here because I got a lot of stops. And then I'm dropping off paintings and T-shirts and tambourines and sculptures on some places on the way.
Yeah.
So then I get here.
Strangers.
I get here and I usually spend the fall.
Yeah.
And I come back in like usually April, May, something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm getting ready to leave here in a week and a half or so, a couple of weeks, to go down to another place that where I built my first boat almost 40 years ago, and which was destroyed in Irma. So I had that boat 38 years.
38 years, you hand built it.
Yeah, so I bought one of the survivors. There were only three boats survived that storm. So, it's a much bigger boat, so it's 45 foot instead of 31 foot.
I think an upgrade.
Yeah. I got to like re-rig it because the wind, took all the mass off every boat.
Yeah.
No matter how strong the mass was.
And that's down in the Virgin Islands?
Yeah, St. John in Coral Bay. Yeah. So I'll be down there for 3 months and then back here and then maybe to St. Bart's for a week or two and then get ready to go. Stock up the galleries here.
Yeah.
And head up north for my main trip again.
So. Well, I think you'll see John and I either in St. John or St. Bart's or Maine or all three.
Yeah. Well, Coral Bay is an interesting place because it's one of the last frontiers. It's like Key West back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And it's still like you can anchor your boat. Like I go away for 10 months, 9 months, and come back, and my boat is there, right where I left.
Wow.
And nobody has to watch it or anything.
It's
a mooring that, going 200 mile an hour winds when Irma came through, it didn't move.
Wow. So, that's amazing.
Still, I don't worry about it moving.
Yeah. When's the last time you saw that boat?
Last time I was there last April.
April, yeah. What made you come to Key West for the first time in 71 when it was snowing?
I left Indiana, so that was good enough reason.
Hey, I'm from Ohio. I'm right there with you.
I didn't come right. I came to West Palm Beach, and I hung out there, and I had my dragster. Race car I built up in Indiana.
Yeah.
You know, with the bicycle tires on the front and the parachute to stop, 185 miles an hour, like 7 seconds.
So. Yeah. When did you get here? Like 4 hours?
No, I had it in an enclosed trailer. And I pulled it with my pickup
truck. Yeah.
So I was in West Palm for a few months, and I kind of teamed up with this construction guy. He did, he was like a flim-flam man. If you don't know what that, a flim-flam man was, somebody that did aluminum siding, they did siding.
Like sold you aluminum siding, or
they
put it on your house?
They talked to him to get,
oh yeah. That sounds like a good word for a flim-flam, man. That's right, yeah, con artist.
Confidence man.
We went south. We went up to Atlanta, and then we did some jobs there, and then down through New Orleans, and ended up at Galveston, Texas.
Wow.
And then that was when I went up. I have two daughters that were, my one daughter was like 4 years old, almost five. So I went up and I talked my ex to let me take my daughter down with me.
Yeah.
So we went back to down to Galveston. Probably after, I went up to Indiana to get her, and it was cold. It was winter time, and I thought, well, I'm going to head back. This flim-flam man stuff, and doing a little society and talking these old Black people in the, making their shacks look like.
Amen.
So it just seemed like, I was going nowhere. So one thing, the first sailboat I ever saw was in Galveston. And it was a guy that had just taken a lifeboat and he made it into a sailboat.
Yeah.
And a mast in it. He showed me a little galley and could cook, and I had my truck, I couldn't really, didn't have a stove in it. So my daughter and I, she was only almost five, we went back to Florida, and we ended up, I was visiting friends in Coconut Grove, and they sent one night, they said, come on, come with us, we're going to Key West. We got friends down there, we can stay, and we want to check it out. So this was in 1971. So I take my bicycle and my daughter, and we got in this van, and we drove down there. It was nighttime, and there we got to the Marathon gas station after the, it was really, no gas stations, but one gas station from Miami to Key West. So we made it there to fill up.
Some of the bridges were real narrow.
Real narrow. We went across this bridge and that was really, a whole other movie.
Yeah.
White knuckle. So we got to Key West and it was late at night. We pull up and park the truck and a van, and I had my bicycle with me, and I rode downtown with my daughter on the handlebars and looking for what was going on, and I came to the Anchor Inn.
Wow.
And I started meeting these people and stuff, and then, make a long story short, I ended up riding around, and one day I was riding with my daughter and down the ball, and this guy and I American flag suit, kind of like that, striped pants, stars, and white striped shirt, and he was crippled. He's just a little fat, short cripple. He was standing, and I said, "Hey, he motioned, hey, I waved." I said, "Well, he seems friendly." It turns out it was Howie Roscoe,
from Howie's Lounge.
Yeah, he owned the bar. Mm. And so we got to talking, and I said, "Yeah, I'm an artist." He said, "Can you paint a sign on my roof?" And it's like, turns out it was 54 feet long. And I want the airplanes to see it from both sides when they fly over, because it's on flight path, which still they fly over. I said, yeah, I can do that. And he took me to a paint store and got 2 gallons of Day-Glow pink. pink. And I figured it out on graph paper where I had the roof panels.
Yeah.
I could roll them, roll 2 panels, that's 2 foot wide, skip 2 feet, go to the next one. And then on a chalk line, and I crossed all the, you know, the H's and the, you know, the P's. And
yeah.
Howie's Lounge, the in place.
The in place.
The whole roof. And you can see it.
Yeah.
And I charged him $200. It only took me one day to do it.
Yeah. I'm sure he thought it was going to take you a month.
Yeah. You go for 71.
No, but he was pretty impressed.
Yeah.
He said, I got some other sandwich signs and stuff. And, you know, I got a place upstairs, you know, you can rent. I'll rent it to you for $100 a month.
Wow.
There's a hole upstairs.
That's amazing.
Where was that?
$100 a month in Key West.
Next to Bagatelle.
Okay.
I think lunch costs us $100 a day.
That's a good old day.
Time went on, and I put a little fruit stand in for my daughter. We'd go to Sunset, and she just put a sign on the fruit stand, help yourself, put the money in the cash register. So,
wow.
And that Howie loaned me then $1,000 to buy him a Cuban refugee boat, sailboat. And that's how I figured out how to sail. You know,
that's amazing.
And I sold the dragster for $800.
Nice. Yeah. So. Not much to do with a dragster down here.
You know, I kept going farther and farther, you know, on Bahamas, the Virgin Islands. St. Barts in 74. I was in St. Barts. And then I ended up building a boat and sailed it around the world.
How many years did that take you?
8 years.
8 years.
Yeah.
What was your favorite place along the way?
New Zealand's right up there, my favorite spot.
Yeah.
And, but Madagascar, you know, there's.
What was your least favorite place?
My least favorite place was New Caledonia.
Yeah.
Officials.
I was waiting for West Palm or something. Yeah,
we just didn't hit
a shithole. Yeah. Well,
I got out of there. Yeah. So
what you did the whole around the world and you still come back to Key West?
Yeah, in the summertime, like I was in New Zealand.
Yeah.
It was their winter. So I'd leave the boat. And I'd fly back.
Oh, so you were still traveling back to the States during
come
your...
back and go up.
Okay.
Go up north.
You're not a fan of the winter.
No. But I'd go up for July and August.
Yeah.
Back down to Key West and then fly back.
Yeah. I saw you in socks the other day for the first time.
Where?
You had socks on the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, I had to go buy these.
There's a front coming.
Right? Yeah, when you have socks on. Yeah. So you go around the world, you come back here. How did you get into the art scene down here? Or was that something that has always just been a part of when you were here?
Yeah, I started. I had my first oil painting in 1972. It was Duval Street on the snow. Somebody found it, and they got it back, made a deal with a guy, gave it to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you had sold it, and then someone came full circle and came back to you.
Yeah, it came back. Hmm. It was in the house.
And that's the print we have at the to the island shop.
That's it.
Okay. So you got into St. Barts. You love St. Barts. You started working. You did some art down there, too. You did Autre de Rocher.
But I started doing a cheeseburger with my friend Eddie that ran the Life Select.
Yeah.
He started a little snack bar called Cheeseburger Paradise. So I made him shirts with spray cans of paint and a hamburger bun, and I made brown, and then the Heineken beer, make it yellow and blue, and made green. But it was a nice detail, but we were selling them for $20.
Yeah.
And the fumes that were getting. So I was doing my brain above the bar.
Yeah.
And then, so then that's right around the time when laser scanning came out.
Uh-huh.
So it's a whole new technology. They can make film positives and you could do full color on t-shirts. So I sent the one, I did it on paper instead of a shirt. I sent it to my friend. He sent back 100 t-shirts.
Wow.
And they went like really quick.
Yeah.
And then, so they've been selling them ever since. Until just recently, when the COVID hit.
Yeah.
And now they...
the collector's item now.
Yeah. So
I've been going to St. Bart's for a long time, long before I knew you, not as long as you. But one of my favorite things I saw at Les Select was that telephone you put on the wall.
Oh, that of the t-shirt shack, yeah.
Is that the coconut telegraph phone? I did not know you did that, actually.
That, I didn't put that phone on. That was like in the 70s and 80s. They had where you could call with a credit card. And then you could call a direct line to the state.
Well, otherwise, you paid it next to it, though.
Yeah, otherwise you had to go up to the post office. Yeah. It was real expensive. And then to call. So when they became obsolete, those phones, they just left it on the wall there. So I made it the coconut telegraph because I was paying the front.
What's it say right next to the coconut telegraph? Direct line to Key West or something?
Yeah, direct line to Key West.
Wouldn't that be great? The only line that goes to is Key West.
Well, our mutual friend, Maurice Stackelboro, started that place in 1949. He was a sweet old guy. I know you guys are close.
Yeah, but
did he just recently pass? Right.
Yeah.
Like a year ago, at 95 years old.
That's got to be one of the oldest places down there, right?
Started that bar in 1949. It was the first bar in St. Bart's, and he started it just to bring people together.
Wow.
People would have a place to hang out.
It's like the Peach.
Yeah, pretty much. Most of those islands have what they call rum shops.
Yeah.
Right.
And you could go in and you could get they had bottles of Jack Iron and you get a little shot glass of rum and it was your, or a cold beer you could get, but, or maybe a corn, can of corned beef and, a few of just, some places had bread, that somebody, old lady would make, a limited amount. But it was kind of like a store, but they call them rum shops. But not many of them around.
Yeah.
I've done paintings of like one in Nevis. It was a real typical rum shop.
Still there?
No. When the guy died, it's called
McDonald's now, probably, right?
Yeah. Vic's bar, and with Vic, the bar died. In fact, I put him up above the bar, levitating.
Oh, in the painting?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's what is Les Select still the same old place now, or is it?
They just put in a new bar inside.
So just no. Yeah.
And
hurt your soul a little bit. Air conditioning.
Yeah, but it's
fun. That ruins a place. So I was at the Hemingway House a couple months ago, and they had air conditioning, and I said, "What the hell?" They added that. I said, "I don't think Hemingway was pumping AC."
No, you can't stop progress.
Well, they should though. Some places.
Yeah, but they tried for a long time. When Marius died, he and the grandkids took over.
Okay. Did he run it until the day he died?
No.
Okay.
He owned the building, and he rented the building to the kids.
Okay.
The kids were responsible for whatever. They'd have meetings, and they didn't. That was for probably at least 10 years.
Yeah.
Since he's been doing anything.
Yeah. But speaking of the art, we're sitting below a painting of yours at the moment.
Yeah.
The one on the wall here.
Yeah.
And you can describe it better than I could probably, but could you tell us what it was and why you did this?
That was my second boat. To do a painting of what the feeling you get, how small you are in those, and when the seas get really big. My first boat, I was in a hurricane for 10 days, and I was just headed to Dry Tortugas from here. I didn't know that much about sailing.
Was it 70 miles, 90?
Yeah, 70 miles.
Yeah.
But I got in the hurricane, came up, and I got right in it, and it wouldn't let me.
That's a one-day sale that turned into 10 days.
10 days, yeah.
Unbelievable.
I ended up off the coast of, eventually off the coast of, West Florida, you know.
Wow.
That's what I love. You named that painting. What'd you name that painting?
How many times I prayed. And
was it all that week?
I'm not really religious. But,
for 10 days you were.
For 10 days you were, sounds like.
I survived. Good time to start praying. It was, the boat was sinking, but I could bail faster. And, I kept it floating. And I was looking for a place to run it up, like a sandy place, because I had no charts. I had a Texaco road map. I had Fort Myers. And I knew kind of where I was.
Yeah, you in the Gulf.
Yeah.
So, I was in Tortugas. Now I'm in Fort Myers.
I'm looking at binoculars, and the only place I could see a sandy place, there was a funeral hearse and a guy in a suit standing next to it. I thought I was seeing
things. Or you're hoping you were seeing things.
I ran the boat right up within 20 feet of his fjord. And I got off the boat, you know, it stopped rocking. I got off the boat and went up to him. And I asked him, and I said, am I dead? Did you come to pick? He said, oh, no. I said, I own the local funeral home. Welcome to Venice Beach. And I'm also a city councilman. He was looking at road damage.
Wow.
And he took me into town. Yeah.
Is this heaven? No, it's Venice Beach. That's the old famous line from, what's the baseball movie? Field of Dreams. You're in Iowa. That's great. That had to scare the hell out of you pulling up next to this hearse and this guy in a black suit.
Yeah. So,
that's amazing.
Then I got down the boat. I went to the Bahamas a bunch of times when it was fun.
Yeah.
You didn't clear in or anything.
You just showed up.
Sail around, yeah. And then I made it down all the way down to the Grenadines and back up again.
You just found an addiction to sailing, or you just like the freedom of it, or?
It gets in your blood, you know.
Yeah.
I had some really good sails at night. Before I got in the hurricane, I was just anchored over by Christmas Tree. And I'd come and anchor off of Symington Street, and then we'd go into the anchor in, you know, pick up a bunch of girls, and we'd go out and sail around at night. And there was nobody. There was no sailboats. There was nobody.
It was a shrimping town at the time,
no
right?
Jet skis.
Yeah. We need to get back to that. No jet skis of Key West, you know.
Nothing.
Heck.
And so it was really nice sailing around. You just had to know about the tide, you know, when the tide coming in and going out.
Well, it gets real shallow out there.
Well, not shallow, but when the tide runs out, it runs out.
Yeah.
Like 2 or 3 knots.
Okay.
But you go with it, and then in 6 hours it changes back, and you sail back in.
Yeah. Did you have a motor on at the time?
No.
Oh, just pure sailboat.
No, canvas sails.
Wow.
Yeah. It was the real deal.
Yeah.
Cuban fishing.
You have a motor on your one now?
Yeah, it's got a motor.
Yeah.
But I had the one I built, I didn't have a motor for 3 years, but I sailed it all around.
You just go with what it gives you, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So, you know?
But,
that's amazing. Well, I want to, we'll come to music next, but let's hear a song to kick off that.
Yeah.
So you got your Rolodex there.
You know, I just had a rum shops. I went and did this guy, Vic's Bar.
Yeah.
Nevis. Well, this little banjo came from the island of Nevis. And it's got a goat skin, you know. I put different strings in, they put, but this banjo, weighs about 2 pounds.
Yeah.
It's small enough, but I've taken this over to Asia. I fly over there, wherever I go, I take this banjo.
I've played this banjo, and I've never seen another one like this in my life.
It's 2.5 feet long, and it's like that.
I'll post a photo of it when we do this, you know, but play something there. Go ahead.
here's a song about it. Instead of dropping bombs on Iraq or Afghanistan, this is a song about dropping little banjos and parachutes. It's sheet music. And all the kids will find them. And that'll be the end of the war. Gone to Pakistan, I will form a band, claim you to the Taliban, that's where I'm going. Always sunny there, I'll never have no care, in Pakistan, I call it home. They may have earthquakes and snakes, and fundamental Muslims, monsoons in July, typhoid and floods, and rare amoebic dysentery, but I'm still gonna try in where Pakistan. I will form a band, play it the Taliban. Don't sing this on the plane. La 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 la. Don't need no widescreen television. Bible Belt conservatives telling me what to do. Polar ice cap incineration, melting down new location, chills me through and through. So I'm going to Pakistan. I will form a band. Blame you to the Taliban. Where I'm going.
Yeah. I gotta say, that is, I don't know what it is. I can listen to that song all the time. I love it.
More than cheeseburgers in Paris.
I didn't go to the bathroom during this song.
Not a peace song.
I think everybody knows that's Anthony Monaco's peace song. So we gotta give a shout out to Anthony. I think it's cheeseburger. He hates cheeseburger paradise. Oh my gosh. I love the song. What led you to music? Is it just what, how did it start?
I never played anything until I got into sales. And when I came down here, I went into I messed around on harmonica a little bit. But I'm 25 years old. I never knew anything about guitars or any kind of music. So I go into Allie's. Dad has a pawn shop, Sam's Pawn Shop. And I go in there and I see a violin on the wall. Sam, how much the violin? It costs $150. I go, shit, I ain't got that kind of money.
Yeah.
So he says, hey, well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you 50% off if you come back in a week and you can play one song. He knew I didn't know anything. I got it, gave him $75, came back, I went right to Sunset.
Yeah.
And there was a guy playing the fiddle there, right? And I said, you know, I explained to him my, bought this, and the guy at the pawn shop said I could get it for half price. I could play a song. So he says, here, I'll teach you a song. It's easy. Boil a cabbage down. pretty simple, just D, C, and G. Boil a cabbage down. Boil a cabbage down. The only song I can sing is Boy
Saving you 50%.
So I go back to the phone shop with that violin and go.
That's great, man.
And, that was cool. And then from there.
Hey, you still know it.
But then I got down in Virgin Islands and I go on this guy's boat and he's playing a banjo, right? And a smuggler friend of mine, you know, he got really rich. Before he did that, he played the banjo. So and we're sitting around and I'm saying, man, I gotta make me a banjo. So I'm going down island in Dominica, and there's a guy who's got goat skins nailed up on the. I said, how much for one of those goat skins? But they had the hair on them, you know, because I want to make me a banjo. All right, you take a sharp stick like a chisel and get some ashes from the fire and put it on there and it shaves the hair right off. So I did that and I got this goat skin that I made me. So then I made a rim and I got some screws and stuff and it didn't have any frets on it. And a purple heart neck and put some pegs in for tuners and learned how to tune it. And I played that little banjo. It's bigger than this.
Yeah.
But it's very similar. But it didn't have any frets on it. It was fretless. And all the way down. And then I got back to Key West. I did a trip for somebody, like a kind of a shady trip, you know. And as a bonus, my friend brings me a Gibson Master Tone.
Wow.
It was a couple of $1,000.
Wow.
Says, here, this is a little bonus for you.
Yeah.
He made a bunch of money.
Wow. You still have that?
No, I like the other little banjo. So I made me then another banjo. And then I got some older ones, you know, and then I started, that's what I got now.
Yeah. And did you built this one, right, that you're playing tonight?
No, not this one. This was made by an old man in Nevis, but I have a little bigger version of this one, no frets. It's one of my favorite bands.
Okay.
But it's bigger and heavier.
Yeah.
So this is just so easy to carry.
Easy one to cruise around on a bike around Key West.
Yeah.
Wherever you're flying.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen you without it.
The bigger one I usually have an open mic.
Yeah. Oh, the one that's painted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The green fairy.
Yeah. The green fairy's on it. Yeah.
And, I had one of my old banjos with Zach Brown Rollins, Rick Hendricks Wheels, his boat.
For those who don't know, yeah.
The guy started NASCAR.
Yeah. And Wheels is a massive ship.
Biggest car dealer in America.
Yeah.
And he wanted to learn how to play the guitar. And I said, I'll show you in 5 minutes. And I'm trying to show him. He's like, he just ain't getting it. I said, here, take the banjo. I'll play the guitar and just strum it. Don't worry about no finger.
Yeah.
And he's strumming. I'm going. I'm playing the guitar though.
Yeah.
And I'm going. You get line, I get pole, honey, honey. You get line, I get pole. And he's strumming and everything's perfect. And his face is lightened up. Shit, I don't need to play anything. I'm just strumming.
He's a banjo player now.
Background sitting next to me. Just give him the banjo. Yeah, that's a 100-year-old banjo.
Trade him the yacht for the banjo.
Yeah, 20 years.
Then you got a deal.
So I gave it to him. He was like thrilled.
Yeah.
He didn't know what to say.
The 100-year-old banjo.
Yeah. So a couple weeks later, I get this banjo in the mail. Zach had sent me a Deering banjo. I look it up. It's a John Hartford signature banjo. $5,000.
Wow.
Yeah,
let's be honest. Do you like it as much as the 100-year-old banjo?
It's sitting in my studio, but it weighs
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah.
Really heavy. It's a really good banjo.
Can't lug that around Key West.
I can't lug it.
It's for chicken roller parties only.
No, yeah. Yeah. That's yeah it's for bedroom party only.
Yeah. That's the only time. Otherwise, I play this little one.
Yeah.
Well, I play now. I play the guitar. I got. In fact, Zach gave me, for my 70th birthday, he gave me this all carbon fiber. So.
Is that a Martin?
Yeah, Martin.
I've played that with you before, yeah.
So, which, that's $2,500.
Yeah.
So I got a bunch of guitars.
Yeah, I've been to your place. I mean, you have every instrument. It's not just guitars.
In fact, I got the guitar signed by.
Yeah.
And I have a picture of Keith Richards playing it.
Yeah.
The night I took him to.
Hey, let's talk about you and Keith hanging out. How did this happen and what happened?
He was it was right around the millennium. And he was in Jos Van Dyke, where I was. And everybody's ashore, and it's like really crowded in Foxy's. And I'm standing next to him, and I didn't know who it was. And he's trying to get a drink. And I'm trying to get a drink. Well, I knew the bartender.
He didn't.
I said, you know, I have a Heineken. And I said, well, what are you drinking in this? And the guy, Scotch and something. I don't know. So got him a drink. And I said, then I saw all these feathers and shit.
Oh, he had feathers hanging out of his ears, remember?
His voice.
Yeah.
I said, hey, you want to go up? Foxy's upstairs. Let's go take a drink up there. I got a guitar up there. And that's why I had my Gibson guitar.
Yeah.
So we go up there, and I'm Foxy, I put him in the replace a couple of and then he gives to me, and then I play. Back when I was young, going back in my younger days, I Ain't Your Mama.
Yeah.
Lighten up your face. So, hey, can you sign my guitar? And I'm looking around for like a felt pen. And all I could find, somebody had a ballpoint pen.
No, scraped the hell out of it.
So I said, don't worry about this. I'm going to write it in there.
Yeah.
Scratched it in there, you know. Steve Dave, lighten up 2000. So I got that. I'm just waiting for him to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. It may never happen.
I'd say he outlives this whole table.
I'll sell it to Rick Hendricks.
Yeah.
I got my banjo.
Trade him back for
it. I'll sell it to him for $9 million.
What are you going to do with that $9 million?
I'm going to buy Louis.
Yeah.
And make it the yacht.
The yacht club.
Instead of just having the beach,
yeah,
on the beach, and
the well, the price has gone up. We figure tonight you need $9 million to buy it, $2 million to fix it up.
$5 beer, and we're going to have Bubbles Barbecue on the day.
I tell you what, I would go there every day.
Yeah, brisket and chicken.
Brisket and chicken.
Half a chicken. For
can't go wrong with those prices.
No more of the bouginess at Louis's backyard. We're going back to old school.
And all the waitresses get to live there.
Oh, yeah. So if you got $9 million laying around, let's send it down to David Wagman.
Millie and Marcy would be happy. They'd be liking that.
Yeah.
Oh, Millie would love it.
Millie,
yeah. That's funny. $9 million is all we need. And you met Keith, that you move on. And I got to ask you one more because everybody knows I'm a big Bob Dylan fan.
Oh, well, I was working on getting this boat, a smuggling boat. It was in St. Bart's, and the water pearl, he had, I think it's in Chris Bowman, and him had Chris Bowman built the boat in Bentley. Mm-hmm. So I knew the boat, and it was anchored right next to me. And I'm on this 85-foot steel boat, and it was, and I had it fixed up, you know, I made awnings for it. It was, I did 6 months in the yard in Fort Lauderdale,
wow.
And it was looking really good. Decks and everything. So all my crew, they were all musicians. They had, you had to be three crew, you had to be musically inclined. So we're having a party on the boat, and I see Chris comes alongside and come on. He's got Bob with him. Bob wants to see the boat down below. So I gave him the tour.
Yeah.
Plus I showed him all my pen and inks of the islands. So we spent and smoked a joint, you know, back in the half cockpit. You know, just, it was, you know, magic night.
Yeah.
And then we're, you know, we're playing a single song. Hey, tambourine man.
Yeah.
And I had tambourine.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was good.
Yeah.
Or play the tambourine, Bob.
Yeah.
Play something. And my friend played a little concertina. And another girl, she sang really good.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That was back in the 80s.
Yeah. Well, Water Parole eventually, what, ran aground or ran into a reef?
He ran it instead of turning south to go into Canal Zone.
Yeah.
He kept going. He saw the buoys, and that was the Navy, their military.
Okay.
But full of reefs.
Yeah.
He ran it right on.
I was his captain, right? Or was that Bob?
No, it wasn't. Bob wasn't on board. It was Chris.
No more Water Pearl.
Half
sank it.
Oh, yeah, I think it was. I don't think they ever repaired it, did they?
No,
it was done.
No, it was totally fine.
Yeah. I watched the launching of that. All the photo. I was reading this big article the other day. I think you may have read it, and how they. I mean, it was a big celebration when they launched the Water Pearl. That was a big deal.
That was the biggest boat they built in a long time.
Yeah. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It was beautiful. There's no drug running boat, but it was gorgeous. Yeah.
Actually, very famous boat building island.
Yeah, yeah. I have a picture of Chris was building his boat, and it's all lofted up.
Yeah.
That was the picture.
It's amazing.
Called the Beckley Boat Builders. And then right after that, that was in 74. And then 76, 78, that's when they built the Water Pearl.
Yeah. And when did that wreck? I can't remember.
It was...
Was it 90s?
No, 80s. Because they were getting ready to go.
Yeah.
And there was a party. And I was getting on this 80-foot going to the Pacific, to Panama too, you know, and to Fiji. I went as far as Fiji.
Yeah.
So I went to Polynesia on the schooner Ann. But we went over for the party when Water Pearl left. And then we heard them soon after that.
Wow.
Crunched on the reef.
Man.
That's a pretty short life for such a beautiful boat.
Yeah.
A reef will do that to about anything.
Like 5-6 years.
Wow. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I got to talk about this bottle of Boone's Farm that John dropped off on the table here.
Yeah.
Au Tout de Rosé. Open it up.
Well, we got some good French.
That's swell.
It looks a lot like my picture.
Yeah. Let's talk about this place. You spent time there, right, Dave?
What, the tour?
Yeah.
Well, I had my first show when I got out of the Slammer, I had a bunch of pastels, and I got my old boat back.
Do you have any of those paintings available right now? Because that's pretty cool. I want the prison series.
They all sold. And I took them and framed them really nice, and I put them up in Tour de Riche.
Yeah.
Because my friend, JJ, he was one of the owners.
Who all owned the hotel? JJ, Jimmy.
JJ and Groovy.
Groovy. I didn't know the Groovy was a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I know we had the firework barge.
Yeah, he bought some of the...
Okay.
Jimmy did buy.
So you did the painting when it was taken over by them, right? Because the original logo wasn't like that.
No.
Rock around the rock.
Yeah, the rock like that with the moon. But I put this painting, I put the harbor.
Yeah.
St. Bart's the way it was back then.
You had a seaplane in it, I think, and a few sailboats.
There was a seaplane, and he was a famous, he was the, DeHinen was his name.
Remy DeHinen.
Yeah,
Remy DeHinen. The first mayor, the first Klan man to ever land a plane on St. Bart's.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, in a goat field.
It had a lot of the history of that painting.
Yeah.
You know, with the clock tower.
Yeah, I have a painting. You have a painting, John, of this. So what? How did it end up on a wine bottle?
Well, Kino, Jimmy's road manager, came up to the studio. And I know Kino, you know, for a long time. And
the studio was a couple of select, right?
And he saw that and he said, oh, you know, Jimmy's thinking of doing a wine. He's got with his wine people in California, like a cult and doing the wine, call it a tour de rosé. Oh, that's cute. He said, how much for the little decoupage? You know, old year old.
Yeah. So
he says, he paid me for that.
Decoupage.
Some posters that that Jimmy picked out, and he was supposed to pay me. He slid Kino. Never paid me for that. So I made sure he paid me for the deck, but so I didn't think nothing of it until I see him a couple of years later handing out bottles of rosé at the West Indies Regatta. These are like traditional Beckley boats. And he's handing out. I said, "Oh, that label looks a lot like decoupage you got from me." You know, he goes, "What goes around comes around."
Well, what did he mean by that?
Yeah, what did he mean by that? But anyhow, that was, you know, like Robin, you know, he said, "Hey, Jimmy, what's the deal on that wine?" And in fact, that's where I got it. I had Robin call off one of Jimmy's people. They sent capes
to
Albert. And that's how I got it.
Because
I was having a show at Andy's Cabana. And I broke it out there. I couldn't drink it.
And this bottle has never been opened.
Never heard the conversation.
That's the real collector's.
Dave told me to put just Kool-Aid in it. It would taste better.
Yeah, but taste it. You want to taste and drink it.
It's aged now. It's still pretty clear looking.
Yeah,
you light a fire with it. Yeah,
you can strip some paint off your boat deck with that thing.
I don't even have one anymore.
I don't know. The screw top always.
Yeah, screw top scares the hell out of me, but it's classy. But it's a beautiful bottle, is a thing. It really is actually a beautiful bottle.
It's a beautiful label.
Yeah, it's the label. It's really the label.
Really the label
that
makes it.
The bottle. I meant the label, but that's funny.
That was the old Jimmy stories.
Yeah. But it's a. Speaking of Andy's, did you start open mic night on Thursday night?
Yeah. When the COVID, when I came back from St. Bart's, I'd been quarantined there for up until May.
And then three months, weren't you?
Yeah, three months, but 2 months.
Tough dude.
With the white paper, and you got to sneak around. Only 1 hour. You know, you only to go to the store, but I never got caught. But I did all kinds of shit. Barbecues and up the hill. When I came back, that's when I started. And that was.
Oh, I didn't know it was that recent.
Well, the COVID started March of 2019.
No, it's 2020.
Yeah, 20.
Yeah, March 20. I started in May. I came back.
Yeah. It seems like it's been going on a while. I mean, we go there every Thursday night. Yeah. It just seems like an old hangout at this point.
Yeah, I got, because of St. Martin, the airport was closed. So I got on Juno, and I know the captain, and he was going to St. Thomas. So I got to Juno, and I had a reservation for Key West. So I got there 2 hours before before the plane took off.
Wow.
Jumped off the boat and back to Key West.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's a beautiful place if you guys are ever in town to go on a Thursday night in Key West. Starts at 6 o'clock typically. Is that going to run all year or until when you're done, you're done?
There are people start, you know, they'll do it long. Okay. I can't, you know. I went last year, or this year, in January, I went down to work on my boat.
Yeah.
And I'm doing that again, so.
Yeah.
Same thing.
It's busy weeks in Key West. You got Taco Tuesday. You got Thursday. Is that
Well, when there's a COVID, you got to make your own fun.
You got to have fun.
Yeah.
No matter what in life. I mean, you got to do it. You got to laugh. You got to have a good time.
Like sit around and worry.
Yeah. I agree with you on that one. So what's that? You're coming back from St. John. When?
Not exactly sure, but sometime in March.
Yeah. John, you put Dave in your book, several books, right?
At least two.
And none of us have ever read them, but
it is on the to-do list.
We do love you. I'm going to say we never let.
I am wearing a Buck Riley T-shirt tonight. I want that known and out there. You can get.
I got the T-shirt, but I didn't read the damn books. So.
Waiting for the cliff notes.
I don't know if you want to just give a little tidbit of why Dave was in your book, or how did you decide to do that, or did he kill a man in your book, or what's this?
Well, the first book I had David in was a White Knight, which took place in the Virgin Islands, and when the protagonist Buck Riley was, things were starting to get hairy, and David, who I helped, I witnessed him launch one of his, you know, his. The sailboats he made, he and Pete, my wife and I, Holly, were there watching him when he sailed off from up there at the end of Simonton Street when he launched his boat to Wisteria that first time with a big sail with a big pirate, on it.
Yeah.
Skull and crossbones. And I used that image as when my character was having this really scary moment and this boat just goes by. And it's David described, but it's like this omen of something's going on. Which kind of led to a number of other things. But the last book, Indigo Abyss, the very beginning, it's actually early in COVID, and one of the fictional characters had passed away, and the town was closed down, and David was doing a music night because this guy was his friend, and he's there with Richard and Robin and Cayman and me, or Sean Martin, a few other people sitting there doing kind of a little celebration of life at Blue Heaven, and David singing songs, and that was kind of, again, sort of a entree into the story, which sets the tone.
Oh yeah, you wanted to do that, like, old Danny Boy or something.
Yeah, you straightened me out on that.
We don't ever sing.
We wanted a little dirge, but you gave me a better one. You can't,
Allison Crow, the brother, where aren't they?
Yeah, play a little bit.
When my life is over, I'll just fly away to a land on the God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
So what better setting to start a novel than that?
At a
friend's wake, and that just kind of launched it into another exciting story.
Wow. You gonna make any more appearances?
Dave?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I better be in the next damn book, I'll tell you what.
There's gonna be a scene at the peach.
Yeah. Maybe I'll read that one. Maybe it's on book on tape. Maybe I'll read a recording. So, and Bill, how you doing?
It was a good day today. You know, there's nothing like wrestling with a 120-pound tarpon.
Yeah.
But, you know,
first tarpon, then
first tarpon for Billy the Squid,
and then Juice threw him in the water.
Yeah.
Pushed him right off the damn boat.
A lot nicer to wrestle a 250-pound yellowfin tuna.
Yeah.
They're definitely better eaten.
Yeah. Yeah. An hour of his life out there, and all he got for it was wet.
Well, at least we didn't get eaten by
a bull shark.
Hey, guys, just get in here. I'll give you a glove.
Yeah.
Thanks, Juice.
Yeah, Juice. Shout out to Juice for almost getting us killed today on a bull shark. But
it was a good day of trout fishing, and we thank him for that.
I think we're about to hit an hour, and that's pretty much where I wrap up typically. But, Dave, let's play another jam.
Yeah, what do you
want to do? Player, you got this. It's tough to describe. You got a Rolodex here on the side of your.
Want me to get my guitar so you can play?
No, no, I'm good on that.
This is a song about the times. A smile is like an infection. You can catch it like the flu. Someone smiled at me today, and I start smiling too. I walked around the corner, and somebody saw my grin. I realized when I smiled, I'd passed it on to him. A smile is like an infection, you can catch it like the flu. Someone smiled at me today, I start smiling too. I thought about the smile, I recognized its worth. A single smile like mine can travel around the earth. So if you feel a smile begin, don't let it go undetected. Start an epidemic and get the world infected.
I can't think of a better way to end the podcast with that. Keep smiling. Stop being a bunch of assholes.
Great advice.
Be nice to each other. My gosh. But I thank you, Billy the Squid, for flying down from New York.
Like it's tough to do.
I guess I should try to read one book. John flew all the way here from Toronto for the party at the beach.
I thought he flew down for this meeting.
Oh, well, yeah, whatever he tells you, yeah. Well, that's what he told me, I mean. And then, Dave, thanks for hanging out with us for the hour. So,
yeah.
And now.
Keep those cards and letters coming. Or all in there.
That's right. Or money.
Or money.
Checks.
Anybody got any idea how I can get $9 million?
Yeah. You'll get a t-shirt and a lifetime membership at the.
Yeah. We can ship
Bubba's Barbecue. Oh, yeah, we should. Yeah, it'd be a Kroger near you. All right, guys, thank you so much for everything, and we'll be back, I guess, maybe next week. So have a good night.